Okay. So thank you. It's good to be here and good to be on this really wonderful panel. How many folks were involved with Ebola last year during the Ebola outbreak? So there are two kinds of people in the world last fall. Those people who are dealing with Ebola and everybody else, right? So, and it's hard to believe it's been a year. So, SEIU represents 2 million workers across the country. 1 million of those are healthcare workers. And we were involved in doing training and working with our employers in healthcare and working with OSHA and other agencies. But we also have a branch of our union that represents property service workers and airport workers. And so that group had been looking at health and safety issues and airport workers across the country for our members and other airport workers for several years. And we were actually preparing to do training around bloodborne pathogen issues, which some of the workers like cabin cleaners at airports run into frequently, and they get very little training. They get one pair of gloves a day and have to make them last all day. They don't have access to water and bathroom facilities. There's a lot of problems in a lot of airports. And so when the Ebola outbreak began, we sort of added on the Ebola piece to what we were going to do with this training, and then it sort of took off. So we just, no problems, and thanks, Chip, for the money. So one of the things to start off with is what we were looking at is what's really become the fractured workforce at airports. When you fly in or out of an airport to come here, and you see all those millions of trucks driving all over the airport, and you see people pushing wheelchairs, and you see all the other people that are working there. A generation ago, those people worked for the airlines, or they worked for the airport authority. They were middle-class, well-paid jobs with benefits. These are now have all been outsourced, and they're almost all contractor jobs at minimum wage and no benefits. And so, so this fractured workforce has really made a huge change. One of the things we found out was that some of the government agencies, when they were dealing with their recommendations for airports and Ebola, they were not aware the workforce had been fractured. They assumed that the workforce was very well organized and highly skilled and other issues that would make it easier to deal with health and safety issues and Ebola, and were very surprised to find out that wasn't the case. But we had been working on this for several years and knew it wasn't. So lower wages, fewer benefits, less training, harsher working conditions. And we've been finding health and safety is a common problem. So, for example, at JFK and LaGuardia, where we did a lot of work, they have 12,000 workers who are employed above and below the wing doing these various tasks that get us in and out of airports. And they're represented by 40 different contractors. And so, you know, one airline might have four or five contractors, and the contractors might work for multiple airport or airlines at the airport. It's very chaotic and confusing. So for frontline workers, whatever their job is, they're so far down the food chain that it's really difficult for them to get access to information and equipment and supplies, and there's not really good oversight down the whole chain of command that ensures that frontline workers actually get what they need. This report was put out by NICOSH, the New York City COSH group, that had been working also on airport worker issues, and this report came out early in the Ebola outbreak last fall, and so this is actually available on the website and has more detail both on the fracturing of the workforce and health and safety issues seen in the New York area. We also did a kind of compilation of our experience that we had been gathering over 3 years on infectious materials issues at airports, and we submitted this to the Institute of Medicine for their Ebola meeting last fall. They held in early November. And this is also on the website. This is on the internet and available, and I can help people get copies if you're wanting to see this. But I want to just show you this. We had, over the last 3 years, we had been involved in issuing complaints to federal and state OSHA programs about these workers. I mean, as I mentioned, many of the workers had no right to go to the bathroom when they needed to. They didn't have rights to get water. They had to buy water at the airports. They weren't allowed to bring water into security. They didn't have access. They're not allowed to use the bathrooms on the planes. Lots of issues. As I said, don't get gloves and lots of problems. This is a series of OSHA citations that we got at four major airports in the country, and we kind of highlighted the citations that we thought would be related to Ebola preparedness issues. And so you notice every one of those airports got at least one citation on failure to do complete bloodborne pathogen issues. And these are people who, if somebody vomits on the plane, or there's problems in the bathroom, or other things, these are the people that clean that up. And they do it essentially with very little training and equipment. And it's hard to imagine, but it's not uncommon that these people get needle sticks, because people leave needles in the pockets of the seat pockets. And they have to work so fast, they get like 12 minutes to clean the plane. So they're working so fast, they don't look first. They just reach their hand in. So we were concerned about routine operations. Now you throw on top of that, and we know from our experience, when you have emergency issues like the Ebola outbreak, that makes all these health and safety issues that much more alarming for workers. And then we saw the guidance that was put out by CDC for airline crews, cleaning personnel, and cargo personnel. The cleaning personnel are the cabin cleaners, which we were having a major focus on. And so there was a whole list of sort of fairly detailed guidelines for that CDC put out. And this worker is dressed in one version of what they were supposed to wear if they actually had to clean up known or suspected Ebola bodily fluids in the plane. Now, they had no way of knowing if it was Ebola because there is no chain of command where they could be told what you found is Ebola or suspected Ebola. They just would be told to clean it up with a pair of gloves if they had them and they weren't ripped. But this is what the CDC was recommending. So when we did our training, we actually demonstrated this to the workforce to show them what they would be expected to do so that they would know not to do that because they hadn't been trained and didn't know how to use this gear, either to don it or doff it. Okay. Into the Ebola outbreak, we did a national survey of airport workers. You can see down below the description of that, but we found that about half the workers had been given some information from their employer on Ebola that was generally handed a piece of paper of something from the CDC website that they were told to read, and then they were now informed about Ebola. But how many actually got any training or even knew the CDC had guidelines for them? Two-thirds of the workers had not. So we were really wanting to make sure we did this awareness training that was on infectious disease with a focus on Ebola. Airports and the airport system is supposed to have a system in place to track sick patients through the airport system and make sure that they're dealt with properly and that these cabin cleaners and other workers are get the right information and are able to clean up and take care of themselves. Afterwards, we represent workers at the Cleveland airport who were there when the nurse came through from Dallas, and they were completely ignored by the public health authorities in terms of any evaluation, even though they were cleaning the bathrooms after the nurse left after she got off the plane. So these are kind of an invisible workforce, so we were glad to do this training. So over about a 2-week period, we did 2-hour awareness workshops for over 300 workers at these airports, and JFK and Philadelphia were kind of the Ebola designated airports that were that were supposed to be doing the very best in terms of monitoring and tracking. We were thrilled when the woman who was the public health official from the public health service came to our training, but she said, "I'm coming here because I don't understand work issues, and I'm hoping I'll learn something here from you guys." And that was we were glad she was there, but it was a little disturbing that she was the main person doing Ebola work at the airport. She was very wonderful, and we're glad she heard from our workers. These workers attended on their own time, and there was no employer cooperation. Okay, so this is kind of what we tried to do in this 2-hour workshop. It was probably a little bit too much, but we did a lot of basic information, tried to cover also basic bloodborne pathogens, because most people hadn't really gotten bloodborne pathogens training. We talked about what should be in place and found out that during our trainings, essentially no workers ever knew there was a system in place for them to do anything around safety and health. We talked about the CDC guidance, but a core of our training was actually this hands-on activity that was led by our experienced worker trainers from our healthcare workforce at SEIU, and they're wonderful trainers. And to them, this idea of donning and doffing a pair of gloves was such a simple routine thing they do all the time, but the airport workers had never seen, for the most part, the idea that you took off gloves in a certain way so you wouldn't spread contamination. So they were very excited to learn this skill and practice this. And so we had these sort of wonderful workshops. Now, we actually, just a month or so ago, we actually did a follow-up workshop, again, with some of Chip's money, and at LAX. And we actually did 4 4-hour workshops. We beefed up the content some. We had to do training all across the board. We had to do training both English and Spanish because of the workforce. And we did these actually at the LAX airport headquarters, so we had some cooperation from the authority. And we also had some cooperation with our employers at LAX, although they wouldn't pay for people to be there, but people came on their own time, but the employer gave them the day off without pay, without too much hassle. So we had these sort of wonderful trainings. We got good reviews and good comments, and we're hoping to be able to do more. The barriers that I think we see here are really this fractured infectious disease programs that airports have, where there's really a lack of comprehensive integrated programs to integrate the Port Authority, the airlines, and all the contractors to make sure that actually the workers at the end of the line actually are trained, have the equipment and knowledge, and get the information they need to do their job safely and to protect the public. There's also a real lack of government oversight and understanding. As I said, the government didn't really understand what happened, that these workplaces were fractured. But there is an ongoing GAO investigation that should be done within another 6 to 9 months that's actually looking at how airports responded to Ebola. And they actually have a really good team, and they're actually asking questions like a frontline worker saying, well, the airport told us they were prepared. They told us they had a plan. They told us you were trained. Were you trained? And we helped them get access to frontline workers. We said, yeah, the SEIU folks trained us. No one else ever talked to us. So I think they're going to come out with a good report with good recommendations. There's also a huge turnover in this workforce because of the low wages and the harsh working conditions, sometimes up to 60 to 100% a year. It makes it really hard to do good training and keep it intact. And there's a real need for Spanish and other language workshops to make sure that people actually understand the information they're getting. So happy to have this discussion more, Chip. Thanks. And thanks to you all. All right.